is What's on Your Mind from the studios of 550 K-Fire. This is Mark Mandan, the voice of the Northern Plains, North Dakota's most listened to radio station, North Dakota's oldest radio station, and of course our wonderful affiliates that include KCJB Minot, KTGO Tioga, KLTC Dickinson, and Western Minnesota, Eastern North Dakota, covered by the big AM 1100, The Flag. We're glad to have you. Telephone number is 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Emails welcome, Facebook comments welcome. Lots of ways to connect with us. Find us at whatsonyourmindradio.com, whatsonyourmindradio.com. Great question we have up on Facebook. And when I first saw the question, I didn't necessarily think it was a great question. And I'll explain. Sometimes when we post questions surrounding the program, my brother Chris Hannon, who happens to be my little brother but also the producer of the program, he'll put up questions that people are asking on the show or that are in the news cycle or whatever. And I've gotten to the point where when you talk about slowing oil development, I tend to have my blood pressure go up a notch or two because, again, just like the governor said, well, what do you want to slow down, right? But the question we have up is, should we slow oil development following the Castleton train derailment? Is a pause needed, or are calls for that an overreaction? And that's, in a sentence, or two sentences to be specific, is exactly what folks are saying. When I first saw it, I thought, oh, well, why are we joining that debate? You know, that's the loud minorities debate. Why are we going there? Again, Chris's job is to pose the questions people are asking, so he did the right thing. But, you know, I wouldn't have asked if we should slow oil development because I think that's exactly what the anti-oil green agenda forces want for very different reasons, by the way, than addressing a train derailment or an oil spill or flaring. I prefer a discussion on just exactly what a slowdown would look like. You know, should we slow down royalty payments to mineral rights owners? You want to slow down the tax revenue pouring into the state, right? I prefer a discussion really on solutions to say, gosh, isn't it great this thing, things like this, the oil spill at Tioga or the train derailment happens so rarely that when they do, people run around with their hair on fire and freak out? Because I don't like people running around with hair on fire and freaking out. I'd rather that people say, let's get a piece of pie, wherever the best pie in North Dakota is.
How do you insist on that metaphor of running around with hair on fire with flaring and stuff? Why do you insist on that?
Well, the flaring, that's why it's concerning you, because hair on fire and flaring go to, you know.
But we've got folks waiting with the best pie in North Dakota, and it's interesting. I'm not going to name the name, but I've already had one person tell me where the worst pie in North Dakota is, and somebody else say that that's where the best pie in North Dakota is.
All right. Well, we want to know.
Which brings up a good point. Everybody could probably think of all, in addition to a best. Not we don't want to single out anybody for a worst, but Scott, I bet you've had pie someplace where you've just gone, oh, this is the worst pie I've ever had.
You're wrong.
Really?
You're wrong. No. I've never met a pie I didn't like.
It reminds me of what my father says. He says, I've never had a bad meal in my life. I've just had some that were better than others. And I imagine that's probably Scott's philosophy about pie. You know, maybe he's had some pie that was better than others, but he's never had bad pie.
Good point.
That's why he's the Walter Cronkite of North Dakota, I'm telling you, right there.
First of all, knock it off. Secondly, I have had bad pie. I do not share my father's philosophy. I've had pie that was irrevocably bad. And some of it was at a location in Cass County, which everyone talks about as having great pie. And I'm telling you, maybe at one time they did have great pie, but they don't have it anymore.
Maybe you just got a bad pie.
This was like two or three separate occasions.
Okay, all right.
This wouldn't have the initials TC in the community, would it?
It would.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know what he's talking about. Tom Clifford, rest his soul, dear man, former longtime president of the University of North Dakota, said he could not physically drive between UND and the campus at Twomley Hall and the Bismarck State Capitol without stopping there for what he called the best pie ever. So I don't know.
Well, at one point that might have been true. I'm just telling you that has not been my experience. And in terms of having a governor on willing to discuss pie, it's a shame that we no longer have Governor Art Link with us because That is one thing that Governor Link did a lot of when he was traveling North Dakota, was to stop in at various restaurants and have pie. I mean, if you asked him where is the best pie in North Dakota, he would not answer the question for political reasons, and maybe he couldn't even make up his mind. But you talk about a gentleman who had wide expertise in pie in North Dakota. It was former Governor Art Link.
We're still waiting for Governor Jack Dalrymple to answer that question for us. We're hoping that happens this hour. If not today, we will do it. We have a full bank of calls getting the pie thing was really, I do want to know where the best pie is, and I also want to connect it to the debates going on. Let's sit down over a piece of pie and a cup of coffee and talk about solutions, okay? And that will be productive. That's my view. Let's get to the calls. We've been waiting here. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Todd Mitchell manning the controls, and the voice you're hearing there, the great newsman, Dale Wetzel of the Great Plains Examiner. John in Grand Forks, you're up on What's on Your Mind. Take it away, John.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I want to quote a call-in person from a different program this week. Guy apologized for being online or holding so long. And he said, well, that's okay. I held so long that the Bison won their fourth national championship.
Love it.
Not too soon to start talking about it, isn't it? And a lot of folks are.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'll be quick here. this derailment thing, you know, what I've noticed over the years, especially if it hits national television or media, events happen, and then all of a sudden, yeah, the hair starts on fire, where one event, and then all of a sudden, you get lawmakers involved, and you're going to pass a law, pass regulations, so we've got to take care of this. And pretty soon, one event causes regulations, and all of a sudden, everybody is spending a bunch of money. And really, like in Castleton, okay, are the tracks too close together? Well, solve that problem and forget about it. But any event, it's like, man, we got to take care of it. No, we don't. So
very insightful, John. And you're right to sound the warning about lawmakers, politicians, knee-jerk reactions because they hear the loud minority and they think it represents you. So the point is this: The silent majority can be silent no more. Come off the sidelines, come off the couch, come out from beyond the shadows. And the common sense will prevail. I'm seeing on our Facebook page right now when we ask this question. It's all over it. So appreciate you, John. Thank you. John in Grand Forks listening on K-Fire. Let's go to Char in Bismarck listening on K-Fire 550 as well. Char, what's on your mind?
Well, my question is really controversial, and I don't mean it to sound like I'm prejudiced in any way, shape, or form. But the question is, why aren't the Native Americans using funds to reestablish their towns, such as the jails? And I bring this question up because of the fact that, statistically speaking, the jails and how they're talking in Bismarck about building more jails are filled with Native American tribal members. You know, most of the inmates are that, and that's a fact. And what I don't understand is why aren't tribal members going back to the cities, you know, because they are a sovereign nation and being housed in their own cities and towns.
A number of questions you've asked that I'm not equipped to answer, but I think a topic that is worthy of exploring, your points of view here, Char. Number one, I would just say in the first thing that came to my mind was the Newtown, North Dakota, that has been transformed in a very positive way because of the wealth you mentioned. And the funding that they are now getting as a result of the agreement with the state and oil and gas development happening. The donut hole is gone at three affiliated tribes around Lake Sakakawea by Newtown, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs as a result of it from Native American-owned companies. That community is being transformed. So I think it's happening, specifically to the infrastructure to support the incarceration of individuals, and whether your stats are right, I don't know. I have no idea. I know the last time I heard the jail administrator of the state jail on the radio, Dale Wetzel was interviewing her on the Legislature Today program. So I know that we could probably recreate that, maybe get some legislative leaders, talk with some county officials about what you suggested there, but I'm not equipped to answer. But we'll get you an answer, Shar, if you do do us a favor and stay tuned to 550 K-Fire. David in Temple, listening on KTGO, 30 seconds to tell me where the best pie is. David, where is it?
Best pie is on Highway 1804 east of Williston, right alongside the lakeshore. It's called Lund's Landing Restaurant, and it's Juneberry Pie.
Never had a Juneberry pie. Have you, Todd or Dale?
I've been to the place the gentleman mentioned, and he is, I wouldn't say he's correct, but he's close. I mean, pie is definitely in the running.
Top contender. All right, we're going to make a top 10 list. Thank you very much, David. Glad you're listening. This is What's on Your Mind. Tell us, 800-228-0550. Don't go away.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
What is it worth to feel good? With a miracle chair, you can feel good. 20 minutes a day and you're a new person. Hi, folks. It's Scott Hannon to tell you about a North Dakota distributor for this relaxed to zero, state-of-the-art design, ultimate luxury experience massage chair. Let me talk about zero gravity for a moment. Zero gravity alleviates stress on the heart and supports the heart by reducing the heart rate to stabilize breathing, boost the amount of oxygen in the blood. It refreshes the muscles. It promotes back health. It improves blood circulation. Every single person that I've talked to that's been in this chair confirms what I've found. This chair is amazing. 20 minutes, twice a day, and I feel like a new person. And now, it's distributed right here from North Dakota. Set up, delivery, the works, all included. Find out more at MiracleChair.net, MiracleChair.net, or call for a free test drive at Fargo or Grand Forks, 701-746-9950. 701-746-9950. The Miracle Chair. You'll love it.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
What's on your mind? We're going to talk with the folks from the North Dakota Department of Transportation. Just talk a little bit about all the infrastructure projects that are underway to help manage the amount of activity that's going on, which is going to be great. We're also going to chat with the folks from the North Dakota Highway Patrol. We get a lot of questions about truckers interacting with other motorists on the road, and always appreciate the Highway Patrol coming in. And, of course, it's a normal or nuts Friday, so we'll have lots of survey questions for you on the program, too. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. We appreciate you listening, really do. And you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with your commentary at 855-200-1776. If you're just cruising right along, we got a call earlier from Fred and Wing, and he had a bit of an epiphany about wanting to get the word out about road conditions last night up there between Wilton and Wing. And, you know, we weren't on the radio, but Fred could have called us and left a comment, and we'd have dealt with it first thing when we got in. We actually get those comments to us immediately. So something you want on the program, a comment you have, that's it's an option available to you 24 hours a day, 855-200-1776. And to leave a comment, you just press 1. Okay, back to the phones. Let's see who has been waiting the longest here. Fuller. Fuller in Mapleton. Am I saying your name right? Is it Fuller?
That is correct. The best buy in the state kind of depends on what month it is. If it's fruit season, like the man says, there are several places. And my best place is the Fort Ransom Sodbusters convention in July and September. The fruit pies come out of the Dutch ovens there in the fire pit, and Tracy and the gals do an absolutely fabulous job. You can own one of those pies at 4 o'clock on Saturday. There is a pie auction, and that is a highlight of the day. As for bad pies, you aren't going to get it there, but you can salvage almost anything by adding enough ice cream. So there's hope for the man, and good cooks just need some dairy products. If it's the inside weather, then it's in our kitchen table. Mama is a master at French silk. So now since the, you know, the old Duncan Hines recommends, it used to be these traveling truckers or servicemen. A guy with a toolbox told me that the world's greatest was at the cafe at Starkweather, North Dakota. I checked up on the rumor, and the dear ladies were running a table just like home, and the rumor was indeed true, world's greatest pie. I believe that the calendar pages have turned. That is not available anymore. And the ladies are doing something else or nothing at all. But that was a really bright spot in the travel. So that's my nut for the day.
All right, Fuller, very good. 4 o'clock on what day was the pie? He's gone. When you talk pie auction, I kind of get distracted, but it sounded like it was this weekend. Thanks for
he brings up a great point, though. Great ice cream can overcome a bad pie.
Sort of like butter.
Great ice cream can overcome almost anything.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm totally with him. By the way, the best pie I've ever had in Mapleton, he was calling from Mapleton, was at the kitchen table of former Senator Mark Andrews and his wife Mary. Had a half a BLT and a piece of pie that Mary Andrews made that was just fantastic. Mm. So that's what I thought of when I thought of Mapleton. Appreciate the call, though. Let's see who's next. Kurt Bismarck listening on 550 K-Fire. What's on your mind, Kurt?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Got a quite a combination here, jail and pie. I just wanted to answer the question on Native Americans and law enforcement. In the 50s, a federal law was passed called the Major Crimes Act. And if you're a tribal member and you commit a major crime, i.e. murder, manslaughter, rape, something of that nature, then you immediately go to the federal system, including facing federal sentencing guidelines, which are usually much stiffer than state guidelines. Secondly, tribes do not have the ability to jail non-Indians. We can only detain. When they commit a crime on a reservation, the county boys or the state boys come and get them, so we're not allowed to do so. If you're a Native American and you commit a crime outside your jurisdiction, you are then made available to that jurisdiction. In other words, if you commit a crime in Bismarck, that's where you go. That's why the situation is as such. We would be happy to jail non-Indians who commit crimes on our reservation and hold them, but federal law precludes that. And lastly, the best pie made in the area by far is Holmes Cafe in Mandan.
I love it, Kurt. A lot of good information there. Can I ask you just quickly? Oh, he's gone again. Do me a favor, if you would, Shane. Sometimes we have follow-up questions. Let's not move on just quite as quick if we can keep them. But appreciate the call very much, Kurt. I was actually going to ask if I bet sound like Kurt had some knowledge of the system. I bet there's a few ideas he has on how it could be simplified, could work better, and we'll plan a follow-up on it. That's what I love about this show. There's not a day, number one, that if we don't have a question, we don't get a great answer from the wonderful What's on Your Mind audience, but there also is lots of ideas for things that you're interested in, so appreciate that. Greg is traveling today and listening while he's driving to What's on Your Mind. Greg, where are you at right now?
I'm partway between Harvey and Fessenden. Say, now about this pipeline thing, you know, they are building a rail terminal 12 miles south of Kenmare. They call it the Cooley EIS, and it's supposed to have 1,500 trucks a day coming in to dump oil off, and that branch line goes down to Berthold. And at that terminal, they're supposed to load 6 unit trains every day. Then those unit trains are pulled down to Berthold and are put on the main line. Right beside that same main line, they've just done a bunch of work on it. The pipeline is owned by Enbridge, and they've dug up a bunch of places that were bad and patched them up and all that. So I don't know. You say that that big pipeline coming out of Canada is so great that they're going to take 500 trucks off the highway. But those same 500 trucks are going to be on the road. They're just going to change them from point A to point B and make them haul to that new terminal they're putting in that's going to cover 500 some acres. It's supposed to be with the largest one in North Dakota. It's like the one at Manitou. It's a rail loading station that they bring all these trucks in on, up to 1,500 a day. So you got 750 coming in and 750 going out, and that's going to be on a state highway. So what are they going to do for safety reasons there? That's about a truck every 4 minutes. That seems excessive, too. Well, just let you guys know what the facts are. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate the call, Greg. And, you know, I do want to do a little fact check on that, because the stat you hear is if the Keystone XL pipeline is built, 100,000 barrels will go in the pipeline, 500 trucks a day will come off, all these jobs. It's been a while since we had the folks on from TransCanada. We'll ask them that question, and I also got a question out of that, but maybe the Motor Carriers Association could address on, you know, if we have X amount more pipeline, you know, will there be that much less in trucks, or do they just go to a different place? All good questions. Devin in Hebron, you're next on What's On Your Mind. Got a minute for you, Devin, quickly.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, sir. How are you?
I was just calling in on a couple subjects you guys talked about yesterday. And first was comparing like a car with gasoline to tankers going through cities. And gasoline's more flammable and more of a hazard in a vehicle that's 2,000 pounds heading down the road.
Yeah, hey, that was an interesting call as well. Devin, do me a favor if you would. Just hold tight because we have a hard break, which means we have no choice. We have to take a break. Hope I explained that well, Mr. Wetzel. We'll continue on What's On Your Mind after this short timeout. Don't go away.
You talk, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Hey, truckers, if you're headed for the Bakken, you'll want to check out North Dakota's newest and best truck wash, the North Dakota Truck Wash, Stanley, North Dakota. With freezing temperatures, now's the time to get rid of that heavy and costly mud buildup on your vehicle. They have 2 heated bays, $3.5 million facility, and you know what? They can take care of Bakken mud. They also have great VIP service, free coffee, free Wi-Fi, relax in front of the big screen TV, take a hot shower while they take care of your truck and get rid of the most extreme mud, dirt, and ice conditions found anywhere in the U.S. in this state-of-the-art facility. Now with all new hours, open 7 days a week, 4 a.m. to midnight. Get a load of this. Get 10% off between 7 p.m. and midnight and 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. Give them a call. They'll guide you in. 701-628-1550. 701-628-1550. You'll find them just south of the Senex off Highway 2, or look for the signs off Highway 8 at 8139 61st Street Northwest in Stanley, North Dakota. The all-new North Dakota Truck Wash. Check out the new facilities, and you'll love the good folks at the North Dakota Truck Wash. They know how to clean Bakken trucks.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
These days, day, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Continue on the program we call What's On Your Mind, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. I just did the chat with Kurt. It's actually Kurt Luger that called in, and Kurt's the executive director of the Great Plains Indian Gaming Association and works with a lot of different tribes on tribal issues, and we're going to have a cup of coffee and pie. I don't know if I might invite Dale and Todd. I haven't decided yet to share the love, but so we'll follow up on some of those issues that came up on the program as well. Devin and Hebron was talking about tanker cars and something we talked about yesterday. And maybe, Devin, if you would, for the listeners that didn't hear that call yesterday and that analogy, you could explain it and then go ahead and give us your comment.
Well, yesterday while I was listening, there was a gentleman that called in, and he was saying how safe tanker cars were and the double liners on them and everything would be just fine to him. And then another guy called in and said that there's cars cruising down the road with gasoline in the tanks. They're a lot more flammable and more of a hazard with a 2-ton machine headed down the road. And so I was just thinking that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. That's comparing firecrackers to dynamite, because you take a train loaded with how many tons of crude oil, which is a hazardous material. I live in a little town of Hebron where the train runs right through. If that was to derail in our town, that'd be pretty bad. Covered with ash, fires, everything like that. Where the car, if it wrecks in town, I don't think there's going to be that big of fires. There's not a cleanup crew, an ash cover in the city.
Sure. I take your point. I think the bigger issue, Devin, probably would be, does an accident happen where you have an incident with vehicles versus a train? And I think there's a lot more just accidents that happen on any given day than there are incidents like what happened in Castleton. That's probably the bigger issue. But I take your point. Appreciate the call, and I'll always appreciate different perspectives on the program, too.
Well, yeah,
anything else, Devin?
What I was going with it was how much better a pipeline would be, because they have monitoring systems, automated valves. If pressures change, they can shut it down, and it's just less likely to be a hazard to anybody.
Makes sense. That's great. Well, Devin, appreciate the call. And, again, I think solutions is where we ought to focus our attention. And you and others have said that ought to be on pipelines, and I agree with you. There's one solution that seems to make some sense, so I don't know why we all of a sudden say, oh, my gosh, we have to slow this down, or we have to – you know, again, run around with some part of our anatomy on fire. I was trying to avoid it for you, Todd. I tried for you, and I just really came back to our hair being on fire, but the sky falling. Two visuals for you there. Is Mr. Wetzel still in the house?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay, all right. Dale Wetzel.
I was going to say, you know, what you just said as opposed to hair on fire sounded a lot, frankly, worse. I'd prefer hair on fire.
Thank you,
Dale.
If
you had to choose between one or the other.
When you say
part of your anatomy on fire, that just leaves room for all sorts of speculation.
Very good point on your part. I'm going to stick with hair on fire despite Todd's constant criticism on it. Thank you very much. I'm going to
constant.
Do that.
I've told you a billion times to not exaggerate like that.
I did want to see if the newsman was here, because the next guest is way above my pay grade. I'm going to need the numerous skill sets of Mr. Wetzel here. The North Dakota Farm Bureau is having their Farm and Ranch Conference coming up. It's actually January 31st, February 1st and 2nd in Minot, and I'm looking forward to being up there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have this little series we do on What's on Your Mind called Why Do Farmers Do What They Do? And I know there'll be lots of young farmers and ranchers at this conference, so we're going to be up there to ask them. But we're pleased to be joined by one of the headline speakers, who's a distinguished professor in the Department of Agriculture Economics and the Center for Food and Agriculture Business at Purdue University with us, Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well, except it's snowing here, and we've got more snow on the ground than we need, and we're getting more at it. But we're digging out.
Something tells me it'll be all right. You'll get through this, right?
It will.
Yeah, sounds good. Now, the reason I called Dr. Mike and didn't attempt to tell you his last name is because I wasn't sure how to pronounce that. Is it Beely, or tell me how to pronounce it?
Yeah, the best way, I can't tell it by the way it's spelled, Boehlje, for your listeners, which everybody says, well, how the heck do you pronounce that? Just think of a kitchen bowl and add a G. I'd prefer it's not spelled that way, but bowl G is the best way to think about it.
Got it. Well, we'll go with Dr. Mike, but I know it's
Dr.
Bolton, Dr. Mike Bolgi. So. Anyway, you'll be up talking about the integration of concepts of economics, finance, and strategy to solve challenges for farm and business folks. I don't even know what I just said there. Tell me what it means to integrate the concepts of economics, finance, and strategy.
And you're right. Those are pretty fancy academic words. Let me tell you kind of what real life stuff we're going to really talk about. We're going to be visiting first about the business climate that farmers and ranchers are facing today, and the changes in that business climate. And as you fully understand, and your listeners understand, it's changing regularly. That's kind of the characteristics of agriculture. If you happen to be on the grain side of the farming business, things are not looking as good as they have been. And at the same time, if you're particularly in the beef sector or any of the livestock industries, things are looking up as we think about the next year or two. So we're going to try to first set the stage in terms of what's the future look like. We won't be able to predict prices or in detail of those types of things, but just here's the fundamental forces. We've got what I call our what to watch list, and gives businessmen, farmers, and ranchers a business perspective of what they're going to be facing. Then we're going to be talking about, okay, what do I do about this? What actions can I take to manage my business in a more turbulent time or a risky environment? And, you know, every time the word risk is used, many people, they think about something bad is going to happen to me. Well, risk also has an upside, and so we're going to talk about the opportunities associated with this risky or turbulent environment, as well as kind of some of the exposures or downsides that you're going to have. And we're going to talk about some specific strategies that farmers and ranchers can adapt to try to mitigate that downside and capture some of the upside. So that's kind of a short, abbreviated discussion of what we're going to try to do in the session.
I think most folks listening have a great love for the idea of a family farm and generations of farmers going through it. And there's a certain amount of, I guess, nostalgia is the word I'd use to think about, you know, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and how it all started. And I have farmers in my family. My grandparents were in the farming world in a little town called St. Leo, Minnesota, and Camden, Minnesota, and down in that area. And I grew up having a blast going with my grandfather and my uncle out to the farm, you know. And but my dad was in the radio business. I got in the radio game, and I obviously am a city kid. But even as a city kid, you have this nostalgia for, you know, agriculture and farming. But what I think is often missed is that how things have changed. We may have that nostalgia, but farming, ranching, I mean, it's a business every bit as much as any Fortune 500 company, isn't it?
That's correct. That's correct. And increasingly, there's kind of two important points here. It is a business. It's a business that requires managerial skills and decision-making skills, just like any other business in any rural community or any business in bigger cities. It's a business, but it's really important to recognize that even though there's changes in agriculture, most farm businesses today are still family-based businesses. Now, they may have a different legal structure, but we aren't talking in general for farms where you've got an outside manager, a CEO, a president who's hired in to run the business. It's a family-based business, and it may have one or two generations involved in that family-based business, and that's part of what this program is going to be focused on, is some of the younger up-and-coming business managers and how to develop their business skills so that when mom and dad decide that they really do want to retire, that their next generation has the skill sets and the ability to not just, quote, keep the farm running, but continue to grow the business and expand the business and make it a successful business. So, and not end up selling it to somebody else, but actually running it as a successful farming business into the future.
We're chatting with Dr. Mike Bolgi, who is the headline speaker at the North Dakota Farm Bureau's Farm and Ranch Conference for Young Farmers and Ranchers, taking place in Minot, 31st of January, 1st and 2nd of Minot. And he is, by the way, a distinguished professor and also at the Center for Food and Agriculture Business at Purdue University. The newsman has a question for you, Dale Wetzel. Go ahead, Dale, for Dr. Mike.
Professor, to what extent has the lack of a federal farm bill influenced the business of farming? I mean, has it really been that significant that we don't have a farm bill at present?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think the fact that we don't have one is really just more a concern about the uncertainty associated with the government not being able to make decisions in terms of its, at this point, its major or significant financial implications. I mean, whether we, right now, whether we had a farm bill or didn't have a farm bill, isn't having a major impact in terms of, say, commodity prices, et cetera. I mean, global supply and demand conditions and weather events are, at the current time, the major drivers there. Now, as we go forward, however, if we don't have, with the, particularly on the grain side, if we don't have some kind of safety net for the agricultural sector, if we continue to have declining prices for our commodity crops, our wheat, our corn and beans, et cetera, then we do get nervous about what that means for agriculture and what that means for farmers and their ability to have successful businesses. We do have a crop insurance program that's in place that does provide a safety net for the sector, but a lot of people don't quite fully appreciate that the crop insurance program we have, which does mitigate the losses that could occur because of bad weather or extremely low prices. It does actually, though, adjust to the market. And so if we had a period of longer-term period of lower commodity prices, the potential protection you get from that crop insurance program actually goes down. So there is a concern longer-term about having a farm bill. It is, however, maybe a broader issue here in terms of the inability of people in D.C. to kind of make very many good decisions.
Dr. Mike,
or
really appreciate you.
Decisions at all, whether they're good or not good.
Yeah, and let's make a decision. There you go. Dr. Mike Bolgi will be the headline speaker at the Farm Bureau's Young Farm and Ranch Conference taking place. Find out, as by the way, Minot, end of the month. NDFB.org. Find out more information and sign up. NDFB.org. Thank you, Dr. Mike. More coming
You're
up, folks.
Listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or both, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
Are you in pain, worried about the side effects of painkillers? Pain Commander is an all-natural way to relieve pain and support healthy muscles, tendons, and joints. Locally manufactured in North Dakota for people with issues ranging from fibromyalgia to arthritis and even sports injury. Visit our website at pain-commander.com or call 701-331-4416. You do not have to live in pain any longer. Take command of your life. Take command of your pain. Go to pain-commander.com.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Beetelsbacher.
Soybean producers interested in receiving intensive soybean management training should plan to attend one of three Getting It Right in Soybean Production meetings in January. North Dakota State University Extension Service faculty and staff will discuss soybean research underway and 2014 production issues. Meeting dates are Tuesday, January 14th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Velva Senior Center on Main Street North in Velva, North Dakota. Wednesday, January 15th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Mohall Emergency Services Building on Central Avenue North in Mohall, North Dakota. And Tuesday, January 28th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Wishick American Legion Post on 2nd Avenue North in Wishick, North Dakota. For more information, log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring. 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally, I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100-degree heat, and then I'd take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Minnesotans are getting into the... I don't know if we want to expand this to say the best pie in the Northern Plains. That might be politically correct for us. Here's an answer.
Okay, guys, I'm going to settle this issue about the best pies in North Dakota.
Oh, my God.
Homemade Juneberry pies, Lund's Landing on Lake Sakakawea. The best crust, best Juneberries. The lady makes them completely homemade, picks the Juneberries herself. And she makes enough, you can buy them year-round. I buy the Juneberry and the Juneberry rhubarb, and I've never had better pie. All right, guys, thanks.
All right, now it's a Minnesota caller, but he's suggesting the best pie in North Dakota is similar to the caller we had earlier. And Dale said you'd been there, right? It's June's Landing, is that what it's called?
Lund's Landing on Lake Sakakawea. But you know what a Minnesota caller names a Lake Sakakawea? Pie is the best pie. It's got to mean something. It's not exactly in his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. It's a good vote. I bet he's working in the Bakken.
Another gentleman mentioned Fort Ransom and their pies. And the thing that's marvelous about those, and I've had pie down there too, is cooking pie in a Dutch oven takes some skill. I mean, it's not like you shove it in the oven and turn on, you know, set the temperature and be done with it. I mean, you're dealing with a cooking environment where the temperature isn't precisely regulated, and so it does take a bit more chops at cooking than normal in terms of making that pie come out right, and it's rather outstanding.
Dale and I had a rather good pie the other night. It wasn't it wasn't a pie. It was pizza pie.
Yeah,
and I said, Dale, let's go to AB Pizza, which I like actually. And Dale said, you know, if you've been to Bruno's, and I hadn't, so we tried Bruno's, and it was very, very good. We did the chicken barbecue, right?
Yes.
And I've never had garlic cheese bread like that ever. It was like unbelievable. So, but I'm obsessing over food now. I'm sorry,
it's
Brian in Jamestown. Yeah, I do have a Minnesota, fertile Minnesota entry here, but we'll save that for a second. It's by email, so Brian in Jamestown could get to his point. You're next on What's on Your Mind, Brian. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, great, thanks.
Say, have you guys ever heard of thermite? It's a substance, basically, once you light it on fire, you can't put it out. It's considered to be an irreversible burn. And I wanted to make a comparison between pipelines and hauling crude by rail. You know, I think we need to look at the severity of these incidents versus, the amount of them that are happening compared to pipeline and rail. And when you look at rail, it literally is the irreversible burn. I mean, yeah, you can put that fire out in a day or two, but there's no such thing as a small rail accident. And I'm not trying to vilify the rail companies for doing their job. But at the same time, from a safety standpoint, what fire would you rather put out? The irreversible burn, or would you rather put out the wood fire that can be easily extinguished with a home fire extinguisher, for example? And I think that's the comparison that needs to be made to kind of shed light on which is going to be safer to haul crude out of North Dakota. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a good point, Brian. But my only point is, you know, then deal with a solution, right? So use your scenario and say, okay, what's our solution there? I think one solution is stronger regulations on the strength of the tanker car that carries the oil, right? Well, guess what? They were proposed 2 years ago, signed off on by the railroads, and still are being slow walked in Washington, D.C. So let's do that one.
You know,
right?
I think I have an answer on why that's taken so long to get it pushed through. Is you take millions of pounds of steel, I don't care how you reinforce that car, that thing is going to bust open when it hits the ground or hits another car. I don't think that that's possible when you're talking millions of pounds moving down the track. You know, torque equals rotating mass, and, the air conditioner company Train didn't coin that phrase for no reason. It's hard to stop a train, and I just don't think there's any way you can do that. You should get an engineer on there that builds those rail cars and see what their thoughts are.
Well, I also thought of a question, Dale, in Brian's comments there about the difficulty of extinguishing these things for your expert on Saturday on the Dale Wetzel show, because that would be fascinating to know, you know, his perspective on that particular question. And again, what time is that scheduled yet in the 10 to noon slot on Saturday?
He's the first guest. He's at 10 a.m.
Right at the top.
We're talking about a gentleman named Gregory Patience, who is a professor of chemical engineering at the Polytechnic School in Montreal, Canada.
And he'll be a guest of Dale Saturday, so be tuned to 550 K-Fire. John Bismarck is missing a piece of pie. Did they tell me that right, John? You're missing a piece of pie?
Yeah, we're missing a piece of pie to this show, and that'd be as y'all all talking big Steve Bach, and I really wish he was on the show, and that's too bad. So whatever happens to him, you know, hats off to him, because I really believe that he helped make this show.
Don't feel too sorry for him, because at the moment he's on his way down to Florida to bask in sunshine for a bunch of days. So
good for him. He probably needs it, you know, because he put a lot of effort into this show, too, you know. All right, thanks, guys. Have a great day and happy New Year.
Thank you, John. And by the way, I agree with everything you said, and so does Todd. And,
yep.
You know, Steve Bakken actually was given a promotion to deal with a very significant part of the Clear Channel Bismarck operation. That's KQDY, 94.5 FM, great country station, and that's an area of expertise for him. And that didn't allow him to spend as much time with us on What's on Your Mind, but he is still going to be on KFIRE and heading up the Energy Matters effort. So Steve
that's
is going
right.
nowhere, and you'll be hearing his voice from time to time here when time allows. But it wasn't a demotion for Steve Bakken, and you're right, he did. He was a great partner that joined me here since May on the program. So I... I share your affection for that.
I was going to say, he's going to be basking in Florida's sun for a few days. Don't feel too bad for him.
There you go. What a about that? He'll come back with a suntan he could show off. All right. Well, we're out of time. By the way, the governor, short answer, church dinner. I don't know where the best buy, which church dinner. We'll see if he pulls an Art Link and doesn't give us the exact location of the best church dinner pie. But more when we continue in, 22 hours, folks.
There you go.
With What's on Your Mind. For Dale Wetzel and Todd Mitchell, I'm Scott Hinman. God bless you. Bye-bye. Save the date, May 31st, the day the USS North Dakota will be commissioned in Connecticut. Here's the chair of the USS North Dakota Committee, Bob Weefald, for more.
We have been given the great honor, the great privilege of having a ship named after our great state. It's the second one that's been named after our state. It's been over 90 years since a ship carried the name of North Dakota. And May 31st, when we get commissioned, it'll be 104 years since the ship has been commissioned with the name of North Dakota. So this is a historic moment for the people of our state. It's something everybody can be proud of, something everybody can be involved in. And the other thing about it, it's also given this chance to really demonstrate some patriotism, because this nuclear submarine is going to be the latest and greatest attack submarine in the U.S. Navy, in the world, as a matter of fact. And we can be proud it's going to bear our name.
To be a part of this historic event, find out more information at USSND.com. All gifts are tax deductible, USSND.com.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join FreezeDry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned FreezeDry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call FreezeDry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
My name is Kay Swirling, and I am in the early part of my 10th decade. I want to discuss the issue of pharmaceuticals versus minerals and vitamin supplements. I remember a discussion between my mother and me. It was at that time that canned vegetables and fruits were introduced into the U.S. market. It was some time before my mother and others felt comfortable with food in cans. That was also the time when drugstores offered for sale cough syrup and aspirins and not much else. Let's fast forward to this decade, the here and now. Simple drugstores are large corporations with the message that they are the ones who have the power to cure human ills. Meanwhile, the battle continues with minerals and vitamins being the answer to human ills. Who will win the battle? I believe and hope it will be the belief in the power of vitamins and minerals over that of the toxic chemicals in prescription drugs. What do you think?